You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Dear podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Dear is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics.
Welcome to a very special edition of Roll the Quadcast. This is episode 19, our National Signing Day edition. Obviously, since it's signing day, we're recording here on February 5th, 2014. I'm Rob Reinhardt, joined as always by my co-host, Riley Johnston. Riley, it's been an exciting past few weeks receiving verbal commitments, but even more exciting when the National Letters of Intent get faxed into the football office and they're officially Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
Yeah, it's a very exciting day. It's Wake Forest graduates. It's kind of a double special day. You see a crew of 20-some-odd young men decide to commit to Wake Forest and sign, and, you know, they
which is where we committed, in
right,
a way.
We did. Spend their next 4 or 5 years here. Very special for the football team, special for them, and it's always fun to see a good group of men, especially like the ones that are coming in today. As I've long said, it's probably the best decision of their lives, and I think they'll love every minute of it.
I agree, and, you know, just to lay out what we're gonna go through here. I think Riley and I are gonna start with some of our favorite players of the class, a class of 25 total recruits. We're gonna talk about some of our favorite players of the class, as well as maybe a potential sleeper, since everybody on National Signing Day likes to talk about sleepers and who's underrated. Then we're sort of just gonna go through positionally, starting at quarterback, working our way down through running back, receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, defensive backs, and then long snapper and kicker to wrap things up. So that's sort of the order we're going to go through today. And Riley, start us off with some of your favorite players of the class.
Yeah, we've got to take a look at two guys here that I think are going to be big time guys for us, and then kind of one that could be a sleeper. First, I want to start off with John Wolford. He's out of Bishop Kenny, Florida. He's a very, very good quarterback, 6'1", 210. I believe he's the first or second guy that Coach Clawson got to commit about a month ago. So it's been a pretty whirlwind month and a half or 2 months for Coach Clawson, but he did a great job taking Wake Forest from the low 90s up to the mid-50s, and I think we've settled in around the 60th spot, which is it's 14th ACC, which is last, but we were well behind.
We closed the gap for sure, and at one point we were up to 11th. Obviously, it's not where we finished, but a lot of talent came in late.
Yeah, and John Wolford was one of those guys. He from Jacksonville, Florida, which is always a good place, and seeing how the great Riley Skinner was also from down there. During his senior year, Wolford threw for 3,300 yards, 38 touchdowns, and 7 picks. He can run the football well. He ran for 900 yards and 14 touchdowns, as Rob mentioned in the great write-ups that he did today. Great work by Rob all around by kind of putting everybody in as they came in and were faxed in, and also writing a synopsis on everybody in the position there. So if you haven't gotten to check that out, please check it out. It's a great job. But Wolford was named first-team All-State in Florida's Class 5A and was an honorable mention Parade All-American, as we touched on in Monday's podcast. He threw for 126 touchdowns and broke the, was that the state record?
Or the Northeast Florida record. Okay. It's a big state. I guess they have multiple sections for their records, but still impressive no matter which part of Florida you're playing in.
John Wolford's going to compete with Travis Smith, who was the guy we also signed. He was 2013 Michigan State Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And returning players Tyler Cameron for the starting spot there. So that's going to be an interesting battle. It's very likely that one's going to be the backup. I'm guessing whoever gets third out of this group will redshirt. But Wolford or Smith could win the starting job, and I think John Wolford has a great chance to start for 4 years at Wake Forest. So I think
he absolutely does.
Yeah, so I really like what Wolford brings to the table, and I think he's going to be a great asset in terms of no matter what we want to do, run or pass heavy. So I think that's pretty exciting to watch. Another guy that I really like is Zeke Rodney, who was one of the late commits by Coach Clawson as well. He picked him up from South Carolina out of South Point High School.
So. Same high school as Jadeveon Clowney, evidently. Yeah. Hopefully he's got a better driving record. But yeah. I mean, that's almost a guarantee.
Yeah, anyway, it's a short trip up the road for Dr. Lasser. If not,
especially when Clowney's driving. It doesn't take very long.
Yeah, he made it here, so that's all that matters. He chose Wake over Boston College and Syracuse, and this was a big win over ACC opponents, especially BC and Syracuse have proven that they are no pushovers on the recruiting trail. Yeah.
And Atlantic Division, not just all ACC. Yeah, exactly. Atlantic Division.
And he put up great numbers. He had 94 tackles, 17 for loss his sophomore year. Had 26 sacks and 17 tackles for loss his junior season. And this year, a little struck by hamstring injury. So he recorded 82 tackles, 14 sacks, and 17 tackles for loss. If we're switching to the 4-2-5, which I've heard, he could easily get some playing time immediately with the front four there, and he's a big boy, and he can help out with him and Big Baby Tyler Harris. Those are two big boys up there, and I look forward to seeing what he can do there for him. I think he's going to be a great pickup, and he was rated a consensus 3-star by all the recruiting services. I think he might have been close to a 4-star at one point, but he wound up a 3-star. So.
Yeah, he was rated 89 by some services, and it was about as close to a 4-star as you can get. I think some scouts have said he was the best defensive tackle in the state of South Carolina. So, I mean, you mentioned the sack numbers. He's a very explosive player when you watch him play, and I could easily see why you would think he could play next year.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. My third guy is a little bit of a sleeper. He was a guy that we signed early in the class, Isaiah Robinson, out of Independence, the powerhouse, 5'10", 223. I interviewed him earlier this summer. He's a very well-spoken young man, and I think he's going to be great in the classroom as well on the field. He averaged 6.4 yards a carry and scored 20 touchdowns last year. 5,000 yards of total offense for his career, 49 touchdowns. 5'10", 223, you can imagine what kind of a bruising
he's
runner.
Built.
But he's quite quick as well, and he should challenge Dom Gibson, I think, on the field. I think Gibson will probably be the starter with Will Hyde, depending how he comes off that torn Achilles. So Isaiah Robinson is a guy that I think is going to do very well for us moving forward. Him and Tyler Henderson are the two running back commits, and Henderson's 5'9", 180. He was second team All-State Class 6A, so in state of Georgia. So I think he's going to be pretty good too. Isaiah Robinson is I'm really excited to see him. So those are my three guys. I got John Wolford, Zeke Rodney, defensive tackle, and Isaiah Robinson, a running back. So what you got for us, Rob?
I agree with some of your players. I do love Zeke Rodney, but we're going to try and be a little bit different here, mix it up on the quadcast. I'm going to go to wide receiver, a player by the name of Cameron Uter, who is a two-sport star. He should play baseball and football for Wake Forest. Decommitted from Vanderbilt University following James Franklin's departure to Penn State University, and he is a physical freak. I strongly encourage those of you who have not seen his highlights to go do so. He's so big. He's strong. He kind of looks like a tight end. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, but he can really run. He averaged, I believe, over 12 yards, 12 yards per reception on the year. So he is an exceptional player. He can return kicks and punts as well. So he's really a do-it-all guy, and I expect him to be able to come next year and play right away opposite of a Tyree Harris and in addition to Jared Crump and Jonathan Williams. But I could easily see Cameron Uter lining up on the opposite side of Tyree Harris.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty scary threat, I think. Yeah, young and very talented, both of them.
Yeah, so I mean, those two players, both from the state of Georgia, could be big for us, and maybe your guy John Wolford will be throwing him the ball next year, although that's a competition we're certainly going to watch throughout spring practice.
Absolutely.
And when practice starts up in the summer. The second player I want to talk about is Rashawn Shaw, who was a big-time recruit for us out of Fort Pierce Central High School in Florida, a weak side defensive end, 6'3", 240. originally committed to Louisville, but decommitted from Louisville and flipped to Wake Forest following his official visit to Wake on the 20th weekend of January 17th. And as Dave Clawson says, if you visit, if they visit, they will come. And he visited, and he ultimately chose Wake Forest. He is a player of his first team All-State, excuse me, in the Florida Class 5A. So that's, you know, arguably the best competition of high school football in the country, outside of maybe, you know, a few places in the state of Texas or arguably California. But that competition is right on up there with everybody. And again, Louisville now a Atlantic Division opponent, so critical to win. Get recruits from those guys, beat out recruits from those guys, and you know, as we've mentioned, losing guys like Chris Redding, Zach Thompson on the defensive end, and Nikita Whitlock at defensive tackle, or nose guard, I guess I should say, along with a Zeke Rodney, these are guys who could come in and line up next to a Big Baby or a James Looney and play for us right away. I mean, these are guys who, you know, redshirting is not for everyone. But if you can play, you can play. So I think he's a legitimate candidate to come in and play next year. And if he doesn't, I believe he'll be an asset to us, definitely moving forward and down the line. And then I guess my sort of sleeper pick would be an offensive lineman, a guard, Patrick Osterhage. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. And Patrick, if you're listening and I pronounced your name wrong, I apologize. But this is a guy who, you know, he was a two-star according to most services. But, you know, I really think that that's underrated. He had a camp at Virginia Tech last summer, and they thought so highly of him enough that they offered him right there. They offered him while he was at camp. Fortunately for us, he ultimately chose the Wake Forest Demon Deacons just about a week ago now, and signed today, obviously. But his team, they mostly ran out of the wing T formation, so it's a little difficult to evaluate him in terms of pass protection. But his teams ran for more than 300 yards a game in every game except for one this season. So obviously, he's a player who can play in a rushing tack, which is something Wake Forest has really failed to establish as of late. We always say, well, you got to run the football. Well, we can't run the football, and that starts up front. So I think this is a guy who I would anticipate him redshirting this year. I mean, most offensive linemen would redshirt and stand to use that full year of adaptation to a strength and conditioning program and a nutrition program. But I think he could be a multiple-year starter for us down the line. So that's my prediction for, I guess, a sleeper buy-low candidate, if you will.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, they kind of get a look at six different guys. And obviously, we picked three out there, many other guys, including Zach Wary, a recent commit to us from a linebacker. And he's going to do very well in the Rovers position in the 4-2-5 that kind of Virginia Tech. I don't guess invented, but they kind of popularized. Mm-hmm. I think he's scored a 33 on the ACT, which is very, very good. He chose Wake Forest over Arkansas, Boise State, and Oklahoma State.
Pretty good programs.
Yeah. If you had to pick a, kind of looking at the big picture, if you had to look at, pick a position that, you know, you thought really did well this year, what position would you say we benefited the most from with recruiting in 2014?
That's a great question. It's a really balanced recruiting class with 25. You know, we have, you know, you can pretty much throw all recruits out there and form a starting lineup of 22 players. But I think you touched on quarterback earlier. I think with Wolford and also with Travis Smith, again, it'll be interesting to see who plays out there. But strength in numbers there, obviously. And losing a four-year starting quarterback in Tanner Price, it was critical that we come in. And we have Tyler Cameron on the team, and he was a highly sought-after recruit several years ago, but an unknown. But you need depth at that position for sure, and to constantly be grooming a quarterback. So I think quarterback was a huge win for us. And then going along the lines of not to cop out and, you know, say two positions, but I think defensive line, and I know that's multiple positions, again, further copying out, but you mentioned Zeke Rodney, I mentioned Rashawn Shaw, and we mentioned, again, losing three starting defensive linemen last year. So if for no other reason, even if they don't start, I mean, plenty of depth moving forward. We brought in four defensive linemen. So I think that those were two areas where I thought we had a really nice combination of adding depth and skill.
Right, and kind of taking the same question, I think giving a different answer, quarterbacks I think is clearly the most important position since we don't have a quarterback right now. I mean, Tyler Cameron could step up.
That's a great point.
And, I mean, he touched the ball every single play, and obviously you can't overstate how important that position is. We don't know what we have in Tyler Cameron. He could come out and blow everybody away. But we do know that John Wolford put up very good numbers in high school, and I wouldn't sleep on Travis Smith. I think he could provide a lot of challenges as well for the other two. But I think other than quarterback, I think the biggest one is linebacker. I'm very high on Zach Weary and Jabari Williams. Jabari Williams, he enrolled early like Nick Ludecky, the backup long snapper who almost certainly redshirt and take a year behind Logan Feimster, a redshirt senior.
Yeah.
Jabari Williams is a huge Wake Forest fan, never wavering in his commitment. He took a visit, but never decommitted
from Wake Forest.
Right, and I guess wavered is the wrong way. He did open it back up, but it wasn't. He's been a huge proponent of Wake Forest all along.
He's an exciting guy to follow on Twitter, always so enthusiastic. He just loves that he enrolled early.
Yes, I think he really loves Wake Forest. I think guys like that will benefit. It shows off their passion on the field and tends to have a kind of a trait that the Fresh Deeps had back from 06 to 08. And I think Zach Weary is going to be one of the better players in this class, so I think he could be a top five recruit in this class when it's all said and done.
Very possible.
I mean, with an offer sheet of Arkansas, Boise State, and Oklahoma State, and the intelligence that he possesses, we can kind of plug him in. He can do a little bit of what Luke Kuechly does, hopefully, for the Panthers. That's obviously a high ceiling for him, but, you know.
You're just trying to boost hashtag the rivalry with Boston College, aren't you, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. He's better than Kuechly. Right here first. But I think he's going to do a great job, and when you add them along with the guys that we already have, Lance Virgil, Wendell Dunn, young guys there, these guys are going to have great competition and great guys to learn from. So I think the linebacking core could prove a lot of people not wrong for not picking them, but, you know, Wake still tends to get a lot of guys that were overlooked by bigger programs, and hopefully that's coming to an end with Coach Clawson. So,
yeah, you definitely look at the guys Clawson signed late, and they have very impressive offer sheets from multiple ACC schools, multiple BCS schools. So that's I agree with you on Zach Weary. I mean, he is you talked about his intelligence level. He is really I hate to use the term perfect recruit for Wake Forest, but he is. I mean, he's a player who had outstanding BCS offers. We can say what we want about it. It was a gray shirt offer from Arkansas, but that's still a very legitimate offer. He had a late offer from Oklahoma State, who's been in multiple BCS bowls throughout the past several seasons. So that's obviously an outstanding program, and right close to his part of Arkansas, since he's on the western side of the state. But he chose Wake Forest, 33 ACT, great player. I mean, this is going to be a guy who can come in, play that linebacker safety rover position in the 4-2-5 and just, you know, use his intelligence and use him creatively on the field. And I think he is going to be a really good player for us. I mean, again, it is in trying to name the top players of the class, you can make arguments at the top, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, and kind of going along with that, looking at the big picture, when Coach Clawson took over, I believe we were ranked 96th in the standing, and that was about a month and a half ago, I believe, maybe closer to 2 months. Time frame is somewhat irrelevant for that. But when Clawson took over, we were near triple digit. He got it up to moved us up 35 spots at the smallest there. What was the biggest difference, do you think, between Coach Clawson and Coach Grubb in terms of what they're doing, who they're trying to land? Do you think it was Coach Grubb was just getting, I mean, he failed to find guys that were trying to rely too much on finding the diamonds in the rough instead of going after sheer talent? Or do you think Coach Clawson is just knows what it takes to get guys to commit to Wake Forest? Now, it's still early on. We haven't seen any of these guys on the field, but from what I can tell, Coach Clawson going and he's competing with the big boys instead of tapping back and taking what their scraps are.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned we haven't seen them on the field, and no, we haven't. But there was an article that came out today on Football Study Hall, SB Nation site, really good site. And there's such an incredibly high correlation between recruiting rankings and on-field success. It's ridiculous. We talk about it's an inexact science, and it is, especially if you're going to look at sample sizes of individual recruits. But
of course,
on the macro level, they are very good at
it. Yes.
These recruiting services are getting very good at what they do. So, you know, I think it's interesting, and this calls for a lot of speculation, which is always fun on a podcast.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe part of it, and not to diminish Bowling Green or anything, but, you know, Dave Clawson came from Bowling Green, and he comes to Wake, and all of a sudden, he's at this BCS program, and he talks about that palace of a beautiful stadium, and that scoreboard is lovely, Deacon Tower is lovely, the field is great, and, you know, I think he was just, he loved the place, and he realized, wow, how great of a place it is, and you know, you get, and I guess maybe Grove and his staff, when you talk about complacency, is maybe they take things for granted a little bit and don't realize what a special place, stopped remembering what a great place Wake Forest was, and it was just sort of what they knew, I guess. And so Clawson brings that energy, and he loves being at Wake, and his staff loves coming on board, and I think that energy carries over into recruiting. And I think it gets the kids ready to go. And I mean, you see so many kids, even 2015 kids recruiting about Go Deeks and all this stuff, and a long way away to talk about that, but new energy in the program.
Yeah, I mean, I think energy is the perfect word for it. And you can't fake energy, but for so long.
And you can't fake work.
And, you know, Coach Groves did fantastic things for Wake Forest, but I think this shows small sample size, but in 2 months, what Coach Clawson was able to do, I'm really excited to see what he can do with a full-time given next year. I mean, you know, I'm very excited to see that. A year from tonight,
yeah.
I think we could be sitting here looking at maybe top 40, top 30 class. I mean, that might be getting ahead of ourselves, but, you know,
I wouldn't put anything past Clawson.
And, I mean, what I can tell is he brought new energy and passion that seemed to be lacking from the old staff. I mean, you look at the things they're doing with Twitter, all the coaches are involved, you know, Zach Stone did a great job doing all that,
yeah.
You know, the assistant coaches, you know, with the revealing
of
the awakening, you know, Coach Clawson tweeting about it. I mean, they just get social media, they get how to recruit players, they get, the recruiting coordinators did a great job, the people still on the staff there have done a really, really good job, you know, getting information out and really relating to the fans and 18-year-olds on Twitter, the passion and how social media works. And you're a salesman as a head football coach. And I think it's all, when it comes down to making that sale, the guy with more energy and passion and the guy that loves what he sells is going to beat the guy that, you know, is kind of resting on his laurels a little bit.
And, you know, back to a point you and I have talked about off air before, and I believe you were the one who originally brought it up, so I will give you the credit for this. And you talk about how well-educated our coaching staff is.
Yes.
And Wake Forest, obviously, an elite academic institution. So they get the value proposition that Wake has. I mean, you play NCAA 14, the recruiting's what's Wake's highest rating? It's academic prestige at an A+.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you have a head coach who went to Williams College, which is arguably the top liberal arts school in the country.
I think it's top five overall.
You got Dartmouth graduates. You got University of Pennsylvania graduates. You got a Warren Beilein who's a Wake Forest graduate. You got a Coach Jackson who's a Duke graduate. So, and if I'm forgetting anybody, I apologize. But, I mean, you have multiple grad assistants who were Wake Forest graduates.
Yeah.
Zach Stone and Josh Strickland, recruiting assistants, both Wake Forest graduates, as you mentioned. So the list goes on and on and on. And that further goes to realizing just what a special place it is and what the value of a great education can be and what the benefits of a great, you know, small school environment can be that Wake Forest offers. So, from by all accounts, this coaching staff is working, has worked unbelievably hard. 7 a.m. meetings. You look at Clawson's first day, he's up at, I don't know, 5, 6 a.m., nonstop, traveling, meeting people, talking to students, talking to the press. Gets a night's sleep, and then he's out on the recruiting trail the next day because that's when in-person contact started. So, and you know, the using of Twitter and the energy is great. You see so many tweets, great in-house visit with coach, whoever it happens to be on the staff. And you just didn't see that before.
Yeah, and I just think energy is the – there's no right answer, no one right answer. We don't know for sure. I think energy and a renewed vigor for doing this. And Coach Grove did very, very good things for Wake Forest. But bringing energy to the program was not well done the last couple of years. Aside from the energy, do you think – was there a clear change in the type of guys that Wake Forest is trying to go after from what you can tell? I know it's kind of a small sample size of that two-month span.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like we're going after more – they're smart in the classroom, they're smart in the field, and that's what we kind of carried over, but they're also very talented. And, you know, you brought up the point of education in the – as far as how educated our coaching staff is, when you get smarter guys on the coaching staff, they get better ideas. I mean, that sounds simple, but, you know, people don't really think about that.
Yeah.
And just because you go to a good school, really good school, doesn't mean you're better than somebody that graduated from a community college, per se. But just, like, recruiting isn't an exact science.
On average,
usually people that graduate from Yale are smarter than people that graduate from Versailles Tech. So, I mean, when you get these guys with better ideas in there, they're smarter, they know how to work. I mean, do you think that has anything to do with, how well they've been able to relate and go after and address talent and find guys that are better fit for our program?
I don't know. That's a tough question. Something we could talk about all day. I guess one thing I will say I notice in terms of, I guess, who we're going after is we're not afraid to go out and try and flip recruits now. I mean, we flipped many, many recruits over Coach Clawson's, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months on the job, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is the way football recruiting is. It just is. It's far different from basketball. But, you know, I think we are setting expectations higher. And it all goes back to what Coach Clawson said in his introductory press conference. Our goal is to be champions. And you're not going to be champion. And as we've talked about with the correlation with recruiting rankings, you're not going to be champions if you don't recruit elite talent to help you become champions. So we're recruiting and going after, I think, far more players who have other really good offers. And if you look at, not to downgrade any of the people who were committed earlier on in the class or anything like that in the recruiting period, but if you look at the guys Clawson brought in during his time, compared to people. Previous classes of Wake Forest, I should say. I mean, their recruiting, their offer sheet is better.
Yeah, I mean, they're better. They're higher profile schools. They're teams that we commit with, and you're not seeing as many, no disrespect, not seeing as many Elons,
Charlotte,
stuff like that. Those are teams that, you know, you never see. The only reason you see a guy that's, I mean, this is obviously an extreme. Florida State doesn't offer guys that Charlotte's offered, Charlotte's so far down the list that, you know, they're just offering to try to offer everybody. Not denigrating Charlotte by any means, but you have to compete with the guys that are in your league.
Yeah.
And I felt like at times under the previous staff, it seemed like we were trying just so hard to find diamonds in the rough that we were ignoring the fact that the guys with higher stars are the better players. Yeah. I mean, you can't just say that we're Wake Forest, we can't get these guys. You have to go out and try and get them. And if you fail, you fail. But you can't just say, oh, it's a four-star. We signed three of those in the history. We're not going to get those guys. I mean, that's a loser's mentality. And I think the biggest thing that Coach Clawson has done so far in convincing the staff, the fan base, and the guys that he's committing that Wake Forest can win. Academics aren't a limitation. They are something that is a huge value proposition in terms of athletics and academics, student-athlete. And I think that can play hugely to our advantage if we can utilize that and, you know, use that to our advantage as Stanford, Northwestern, Duke has done. I mean, Vanderbilt, all these schools use academics. They don't use them as an excuse. They use them out to their advantage.
As a selling point, which
yes.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that Coach Clawson has utilized that better from what I can tell so far, obviously. Time will tell as we move on here, but and you know, guys that we haven't even talked about, but you know, they're still really, really good. Get Devin Pike, the tight end, going to join
another Louisville transfer. Flip,
yeah, very talented position group. We've got a tight end. If we can use that a little better as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had two commit last year, and then Zach Gordon committed the year before. So, I mean. He's a potential redshirt candidate this year.
Yeah, Cameron Glenn, Demetrius Kemp, a safety. They're both very, very good. I think Glenn's a top 30 safety in the class.
Yeah.
Jalen Barber, wide receiver. He's the third best, according to 24/7 Sports.
The entire class.
He's Adam Monroe. Jim Grubb got him to commit, and he stayed on. Aleek Terry, top 15 center in the class. He's going to be behind Corey Helms. I'm guessing he'll probably take a redshirt, maybe look to move to guard if he doesn't want to sit for a couple of years. I mean, all these guys that we haven't even talked about, third best kicker in the class, according to ESPN. So it'll be interesting to see where Chad Edlund does, if he goes ahead and graduates after spring or if he comes back for another year. So I think you've got all these pieces. They're not all starters, obviously. But, I mean, you're building depth. And I think this lays a fantastic blueprint. If you want to talk about a sport that's building a foundation the right way for the future, this is
the foundation.
Yes, this is it.
And, you know, I think that is a great point of they're not all going to be starters. And, you know, I try to do my best when writing these profiles on these players. And I think we're trying our best in this podcast to – I don't want to say limit expectations, but again, you look at even a Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston redshirted here. I'm not saying any of these guys are Jameis Winston, but a Johnny Manziel, he redshirted here.
Yeah.
So the last two Heisman Trophy winners, okay, as good as they are, they redshirted. So.
And the other thing you have to consider going off of that, as good as these guys are and as happy as we are with it, it's still last in the ACC. That's something that Coach Clawson, I'm sure he's not disappointed by any means, but he said, look, we've got a lot of room to go. But these guys are playing against guys in the ACC that were almost universally renowned as better than them. So, you know, we're playing against guys that are better. And I think that, you know, limiting expectations as well as looking at it realistically is a good way to be. But I think this is a very, very good foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I can't emphasize enough how good of a job Coach Clawson has done in his
fantastic.
6 weeks to 2 months recruiting with this this class. I mean, again, if you're looking at the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 commits according to 247's composite rating. I mean, you look at a Zeke Rodney, or that's Riley's dog, Wrigley, a Rashawn Shaw, Jalen Barber committed under Grove, but then a Justin Heron, a Cameron Uter, a Zach Weary, a John Walford, a Devin Pike, Clawson commits. And now that's not to say they weren't on the radar under the previous staff, but Clawson landed them. Clawson and his staff landed them. So give them credit. If credit is due to the previous staff for helping establish a relationship, I'm certainly willing to give credit if there's credit due to give there. But, you know, not all 25 are going to be starters. Not all 25 are going to be All-Americans. Not all 25 are going to play all 4 or 5 years. But if you can pull out a solid top set from these guys and build on what I think have been respectable classes the last few years, you talk about a Corey Helms, who's a freshman, honorable mention, freshman All-American last year, and a Tyree Harris, very good player, and maybe a Ryan Janvion, who is also a honorable mention, freshman All-American. So we have some pieces, and we're just going to need a lot of these pieces to hit, but a lot of good depth, I think, in this class.
Oh, absolutely, and I think once it's just a great springboard moving forward. Getting energy back into the program that was sorely lacking, I can't say enough about the job that the staff has done in terms of retaining commits, getting new commits, and flipping commits. I mean, they did it all.
That's recruiting.
They secured the commits that were already here. They got new ones, and they found ones that had other schools, and they flipped them, and they brought them here. I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
They saw opportunities, and that's what they've done with it. They saw opportunities. Where did our flips come from? Well, we had two who flipped from Louisville, who lost Charlie Strong to Texas, head coach Charlie Strong to Texas. They bring in a Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino's character has been questioned, even if, you know, I'm not even going to talk about the extramarital affair stuff. I'm not a moralist, but he's been jumping. You know, he leaves the Atlanta Falcons after 13 games.
Yep.
He leaves Louisville. He's already left Louisville. He went to Western Kentucky. He left Western Kentucky. So, and I'm not sitting here negative recruiting Louisville, but I'm saying he saw an opportunity. Same thing with Vanderbilt. Everybody seemed to poach Vanderbilt's recruits. So, in a Rutgers situation, which had some turnover on the staff there. So, you know, sees opportunities, and that's exactly what Coach Clawson and his staff have done and revitalized this program.
Yeah, and kind of reading off of Coach Clawson released a statement.
The press conference today, or was it just a release statement?
Yeah, I think it was a press conference. I'm not sure where exactly it came out, but he essentially was talking about the great job that the staff did. He said, there wasn't one day that a coach could be on the road that we weren't all on the road. At times, it got delirious. We woke up in hotel rooms that had no idea what city we were in. The work ethic allowed us to make up ground and sign a very strong staff. He said that apparently a ton of faculty members came in on Saturday, Sunday, gave tours of campus, gave up their valuable time. It looks like everybody.
Hey, that's getting the whole community to buy in.
Yeah, it said that we've had a lot of donors who are generous and allowed us to use their planes and see players in remote areas. And, you know, a lot of this is stuff that has come up in the last, you know, since he got here. Seems like he's done a great job of kind of rallying everybody together and show that we can be a good football team.
And, you know, that stuff with the community outreach or the community buying in, and you know, he gets all that. I believe what he asked, some fan asked in that introductory press conference, what can we do? He said, I want you to buy 50 tickets. And, you know, he was joking a little bit, but the thing is fan support. Fan support is huge, whether it's, you know, going to games. Obviously, dollars are going in there. And in addition to going to the games, if you have some extra dollars, he'd love to have them. I mean, this is a guy who pretty much started cold calling people when he was at Fordham. And he, I think, multiplied the budget from like $120,000 to over $600,000 just by doing it himself. So it comes as no surprise to me that he is able to help raise these dollars. And bring, I mean, he's incredibly charismatic. I'm such a believer in Dave Clawson and what he's going to do for this program. And I hate that I'm sounding giddy, but I mean, he's remarkable. And I'm thrilled to have him. And just relentless effort, I believe. Somebody on the OG boards mentioned the other day that they saw Coach Derek Jackson, the secondary coach. He was at the this might have been the Notre Dame basketball game and hosting kids on official visits, and he was yawning in the seats. And it's like, I can believe it, man. I mean, they're just working so hard, but, you know, hard work pays off, as they like to say.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're getting to the point where we kind of, you know, we don't want to double up on anything we're saying and stretch the thing too long. So, you know, kind of going over everything here, you want to give a brief breakdown of, you know, the players, how many we had. You know, you did most of this stuff. Once again, great job by Rob of doing all this.
Thank you.
We'll do a brief wrap up here. We've had over 12,500 hits to now on Blogger So Dear. It's one of our best days ever.
So thank you to all our readers out there. We write for you guys, so we're glad you enjoy reading.
Yeah, and you know, with hits like that, it makes us want to come back and keep writing articles. So we've been here during the bad times, the good times are the fun part. So I mean, you know, so just, Rob, can you give a brief, you know, overview of the class and, you know, how many there are, kind of where they hail from, stuff. I know you've done a bunch of stuff with that. So go over that real quick, kind of a wrap-up.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess in a brief synopsis, as we've sort of said, 25-man class, balanced class when you talk about two quarterback, two running back, three receivers, one tight end, four offensive linemen, four defensive linemen, three linebackers, four defensive backs, a long snapper and a kicker, which makes for the 25. The two quarterbacks, we had mentioned John Wolford previously of Bishop Kenny High School in Jacksonville, Florida. Phenomenal numbers. Our second quarterback is a Travis Smith, Michigan Gatorade Player of the Year, as you had mentioned. 41-0 record as a starter, very similar impressive passing numbers that Wolford has. So that'll be something great to look to watch moving forward, former Toledo commit, but ultimately could not pass up the opportunity to come to Wake Forest. Isaiah Robinson, a very good, intriguing running back prospect, as you had mentioned, out of Independence High School, 223 pounds, so well built. Our other running back is Tyler Henderson out of Collins Hills High School in Georgia, you know, only a two-star prospect, 5'9", 180, very fast. I believe he had 27 total touchdowns this past season, all-purpose touchdowns. He'll definitely benefit from a redshirt year, I would imagine, but he's quick. I tell you, he's quick and he can make plays, so it'll be interesting to see if he can maybe turn into a third-down back later on down the road, be sort of a change of pace guy. Wide receiver, talked about my man crush on Cameron Uter earlier. Jalen Barber, another very good receiving prospect. He's a little bit shorter, about 5'9", 180. So I think he could fill in the role of that slot receiver sometime in the future. Cortez Lewis, a receiver of Demopolis High School in Alabama, teammate of Demetrius Kemp, a safety, also out of that. Also out of that school, a really intriguing safety prospect, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Cortez Lewis, really good player. Staff thinks they're undervalued, and you know, lo and behold, coaching staff on signing day really likes who they're committing. But he's got impressive tape for sure. 6'2", 200 pounds, so well built, good prospect moving forward after a redshirt season, I would imagine. Devin Pike at tight end, 6'6", 225, big red zone target. It'll be interesting to see if he plays next year. Obviously, we haven't been known to use tight ends at Wake Forest as of late, for those of you who forgot what a tight end was. You know, maybe he's just better than the guys we got last year, so he might be a candidate to play right away. That's something we'll have to keep an eye on moving forward. And, you know, I apologize if I sound long-winded. Offensive lineman, Ryan Anderson, took a prep year last year, the Hunt School in New Jersey, originally out of Raleigh, 6'6", 275, probably a candidate for a redshirt year to add on frame. A lot of our offensive linemen are around 300 pounds, so he's a guy who has a big frame and we'll look to add on. Justin Heron, 6'5", 285, out of Maryland, the Rutgers decommit. This kid has a chance to be really, really good for us down the line. Really impressive tape. Didn't start playing football till he was a freshman in high school. And he had an offer from Penn State. I mean, this guy is a legitimately very good player, and I would not be shocked if he started for, you know, 3 years for Wake Forest. Alik Terry, a very good center prospect, top 15, top 10 center prospect, depending on which site you use. But again, an issue to be behind Corey Helms, honorable mention, freshman All-American. So we'll see how he moves, but no doubt there's talent there with him. And then Patrick Osterhodge, who and probably still can't pronounce his name, out of Central High School in around Dayton, Ohio, who's, you know, one of those sleeper prospects that we like. defensive line. We've mentioned Rashawn Saul. We've mentioned Zeke Rodney. Those are two big-time players for us for sure, which we're very excited about. And then you also look at a Willie Arbery, who is out of Georgia and is a well-built 6'2", 270 pounds. He could play tackle or end. It looks like originally committed to Indiana University. Ironically enough, that's where our previous defensive coordinator, Brian Knorr, went. So he's an exciting prospect. And then Chris Stewart, formerly known as Knight, out of Mississippi, defensive end for us. He's an interesting follow on Twitter. I believe his handle's Chris Took Your Girl, and he did change his name to Richard Sherman Jr. following the Richard Sherman Michael Crabtree incident of a few weeks ago. And linebacker, we've talked about Zach Wary, how we think he could be a really intriguing Rover prospect for us, just a perfect recruit for us. Jabouri Williams, early enrollment at Wake Forest, loves Wake Forest. Some other really good offers from Syracuse and Pittsburgh. Really intriguing prospect for us. He's very fast and explosive. He could still redshirt this year, even though he's enrolled early. A lot of depth at linebacker when you look at a Donatel, although we'll see how he comes back from his injury, a Lance Virgil, a Wendell Dunn, a Kivas Jones. So we will see there, along with, I don't know how to say his name, Kalen McNeil, I'm not sure.
Kalen McNeil.
Yes. You know, only 190 pounds at 6'2", so probably could use a redshirt year to bulk up, but I know the staff likes him, and he committed pretty early, so the staff thinks he probably would have gotten some more offers had he had his commitment open for a longer period of time. He's out of Greensboro High Point area, so a local kid there. And then defensive backs, Daquan Lawrence, I believe he's a nephew of Percy Harvin.
Cousin,
somehow related. They're both from the Chesapeake, Virginia Beach area, which produces a tremendous amount of talent. Is elite track star. He runs like a 4.440. Broke up a lot of passes. He's a very intriguing prospect. Thomas Dillon, another cornerback, a little bit smaller, 5'10", 173, out of the Texas area. It's a huge state. Out of the Kincaid School, I believe, in around the Houston area. He didn't face the toughest competition, but their school was elite, and I believe went undefeated this season. Demetrius Kemp, safety, big time tackler, will really help us in the run game. Had late interest from Auburn, and had some had an offer from Minnesota as well. A lot of interest from Minnesota. And then Cameron Glenn, a safety, a top 30 safety in the class, as you mentioned, 6'2", 185, really good in run support. He could be another one of those under-the-radar guys. Long snapper, as you mentioned, Nick Ludecky, probably will redshirt this year, but then he could step in next year and contribute as a long snapper for potentially 4 years. And then finally, after I'm done my diatribe here and my dissertation, Adam Centers, kicker, number three kicker in the country, according to ESPN, was down to Wake Forest in Virginia and chose Wake Forest, which, again, another big win, a very similar school most people would consider Virginia to a Wake Forest, so huge that we got that commitment. An outstanding leg, Under Armour All-American, made all 57 PATs. This year, and he has a boot on him, and Wake fans are going to love him moving forward. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's a really good wrap up. So, that's perfect. Gives everybody at least a spot in the spotlight there. So I think overall, we're both very, very pleased with the class, and we can't say enough about Coach Clawson. So congratulations to each and every one of these guys. That will be coming to Wake Forest. I hope nothing but the best to all of them in both academics and athletics. I'm proud of them all, and I'm excited to welcome them to the Wake Forest family.
Absolutely. Well, Riley and I can't wait to check out spring practice here starting up. We're not sure the exact dates yet, but we look forward to that. We're really looking forward to the the spring game. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement for that. A lot more importantly, a great tailgating opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. We got to make sure we haven't fallen out of practice.
You know, we went undefeated in the tailgate last year.
We did. We've never lost.
We have never lost. So we got that going for us, and then we're looking forward to spring practice here moving forward. But thank you, guys. You got anything else before?
Nah, I think we're good. Just thank you everybody for listening, and had a great listener turnout the past few podcasts.
Yeah,
we're gonna keep these things going weekly, and you know, once again, fantastic job by Rob today running the National Signing Day, writing all the articles, and pretty much handling all of his business like a man. so you can where can they find you on Twitter, Rob?
At Robert_Reinhard Reinhard, and where can they find you, Riley?
It's at BSD_RA Johnston, and as always, follow Jake Sloan, who runs the official Twitter account for Blogger So Dear, at Blogger So Dear. Pretty straightforward, so check us out. We're extremely excited about what the future holds for Wake Forest football, and we can't wait to talk to you guys next week. So have a good one, and as always, go deep.
Go Deeks.